Binge the full week of The Ray Taylor Show ad-free over at inspireddisorder.com/plus.
This is The Ray Taylor Show.
Swipe Up, episode 223, the podcast where I share my unfiltered thoughts and on the latest news and entertainment updates. I'm your host, Ray Taylor, and every single Thursday, I'll be bringing you a fresh perspective on a variety of topics. Don't forget to use the hashtag #SwipeUpPodcast to join the conversation on social media. In this episode, I'm going to be talking about some updates to the Alec Baldwin Rust shooting, as well as the Netflix CEO Reed Hastings stepping down. And the third story is about some new UFO reports from the U.S. government. So a little science, a little fiction, a little entertainment, all those things wrapped into one. Let's get it started, shall we? With the first story, is Alec Baldwin to blame for Helena Hutchins' death? So under New Mexico law, Baldwin could face up to 18 months in prison if trial jury finds that he acted, quote unquote, without due caution or circumspection when he pointed the replica vintage Pieta Colt 45 caliber revolver at Hutchins during a setup of a camera angle in October. It's crazy that that was only back in October. It seems like that was longer ago, but you know, kind of a crazy situation. Right, they're filming this movie. Alec Baldwin, I believe, not only an actor who pulled the trigger, but also I want to say he's a producer on the film too, which I believe is probably one of the reasons why him and the armorman, the person who's actually in charge of making sure the weapons on set aren't live, aren't hot, are both being charged with manslaughter. Prosecutors will determine whether Baldwin is responsible for Hutchinson's death by evaluating whether he should have known of the danger involved when he pointed the loaded gun at Hutchinson, or, quote, acted with a willful disregard for the safety of others. Under New Mexico's involuntary manslaughter laws, Baldwin could face up to 5 years in prison if a jury finds criminal negligence in his accidental firing of the vintage Colt revolver. Baldwin's attorney, Luke Nikas, claims the actor relied on the professionals whom he worked with, who assured him that the gun had no live rounds. Baldwin has previously stated that this is not his duty as an actor to ensure the pistol was not loaded with live ammunition, which is generally banned on movie sets. The assistant director, Dave Halls, has agreed to plead guilty to negligent use of a deadly weapon and had told Baldwin that the gun was cold, meaning that it had been checked to make sure that there was no live rounds. Baldwin has said that it was Hutchinson who told him to point the gun at her as she was plotting a camera angle in a church at a ranch outside Santa Fe. District Attorney Mary Carmack Altweiss is filing charges against both Baldwin and his film set armorer Hannah Gutierrez Reed by the end of the month. Baldwin may face up to 18 months in prison if convicted under the lesser charge and up to 5 years in prison if convicted under the greater negligence charge. Baldwin is also facing a civil lawsuit, makes sense, accusing him of negligence for shooting Hutchinson's Rust director and Rust director Joel Suez, who was also injured in the incident. I mean, definitely a crazy situation. One, when it comes to movies, right? Movie magic. A lot of fake things happen in movies, right? When they were filming Apollo 13, they didn't go to outer space, right? When they're filming Star Trek, the Enterprise is not an actual ship, right? when they film Star Wars, they're not actually using laser swords. But for whatever reason, movies are still using guns that can fire bullets, right? The only thing a gun does, the only function of a gun, is to fire a bullet with the intent of ending life. That is why guns exist. That's why they were invented. That's why people buy them. They, whether they're going to hunt or whether they have this idea of they're going to protect themselves, the function of a gun is to end a life. And in a business that is all make-believe, the idea of movie magic is a term that, you know, replies to how movies are able to create things that look like they're real, but they're not. So the fact that a movie would be using, or any movie for that matter, would be using a gun that can actually fire a bullet, even though this is a replica gun, clearly is still able to function in a way that will shoot a bullet, is absolutely absurd. That there would need to be that level, the only authentic thing to be used on a movie set, for that one and only authentic thing to be a gun that is able to fire a bullet, is absurd. So the fact that there were actual guns that can actually fire bullets involved at all is ridiculous, right? No reason. There's no reason to have a functional gun on a movie, in a movie, right? Because they're not in movies. They're not actually. They're shooting blanks, right? So I get that, right? Oh, you kind of get some of the sound. You kind of get some of the feeling of what, but it's all make-believe. It's all make-believe. They don't have to. You don't have to be method when it comes to firearms, right? It's just absolutely ridiculous. So the fact that movies, which I think, especially after this issue, I think there's a lot of studios probably not using guns that can actually fire bullets anymore, right? Which makes sense. You can do all of that stuff in post. There is absolutely no reason to have a functional weapon anywhere, let alone in a place where everything is make-believe. The last place you should have a device that is specifically designed and invented to end life, to have that device on a set. So that is one thing. Also, apparently, when this first thing happened, the crew was out shooting these guns, like playing around, doing target practice or whatever. And apparently that's where the mix-up came, right? They were playing around. They didn't take the real bullets out and put the blanks in. It's, you know, there is a level of negligence there. To be playing around, clearly at one point, knowingly putting live rounds in a gun that is going to be used in a movie. Stupid. I believe the only reason Baldwin is, I mean, obviously he's the one that pulled the trigger, but I think the reason why, not just because he's an actor, it's not his responsibility, but I would imagine as a producer, he holds some responsibility. A producer of a movie is one of the people in charge of the movie. As far as, I don't know the actual structural business hierarchy of movie production, but I would imagine that's another reason why he is part of this lawsuit, in addition to the fact that he's the one that actually pulled the trigger. But it's a tragedy. And I remember when I was a kid, when Brandon Lee, Bruce Lee's son, in filming The Crow, Crow 2, the first Crow, I don't know which one it was, but it was a similar situation where there was a live round in one of the guns and he died. It's just ridiculous. We live in a time where it's so blatant that guns are something that a lot of humans aren't equipped or should have. especially considering how effortless the human mind can be damaged. And to make somebody who seemingly has a good head on their shoulders can turn them into somebody who's desperate, somebody who's broken, somebody who will use this tool for its one and only purpose, to shoot in order to end a life. And I think America has really shown that humans should not be allowed to have these tools around, right? I think that all the other developed countries in the world have figured this out a long time ago, and the stubbornness and the delusion that is involved in the day-to-day thinking of so many Americans is they have this obsession with this tool that is being used for what it was invented for, what it's used for. This tool is being used for what it was created to be used for on all kinds of people, all kinds of innocent people, not just directors who are trying to set up a camera angle in a church, but children who are going to school, people like recently there was a shooting at a park in LA celebrating the Lunar New Year, 11 people dead. Mass shootings happening daily, if not more, in this country. Like, proving every single day how inequipped humans are to have that kind of power at their disposal. So, I don't know. Like, I feel bad that I feel bad that this woman is no longer alive, right? Shouldn't have happened. The movies, these things of make-believe, have no reason, right? Even in movies, they don't even drive cars in most movies. Most cars are on, like, dollies. Like, there's so, like, it's so ridiculous that there's a need for a functional firearm to be used in a movie. And to have an accident happen. I mean, I don't like when people point toy guns at me. Now, I've had a real gun pointed at my forehead during a robbery while working at a video store in my 20s. So when I see a thing that looks like a gun pointed at me, kind of brings me back to a time I wish I didn't have to, you know, didn't have to experience. Even toy guns, I don't care. Like, even if it's like a Nerf gun that's painted to look like a gun, even if it's a plastic gun that doesn't shoot anything, the visual of having it pointed at you is not something that I like. It's not something that I prefer to happen, to see something that looks like a weapon designed to end life pointed at me. And for somebody who knows that this thing shoots real bullets, Alec Baldwin knew it. They were playing around with these guns, shooting targets, shooting bottles off of fences or whatever. Right? You have to, even though you have an armorman saying you're good to go, to just blindly go along with somebody's word, you know, is, I mean, you're assuming a lot of trust in one person, and humans make mistakes all the time, especially if something that has the potential to kill people, right? You have this thing that you know can shoot real bullets, and you're going to not only point it, what did he pull the trigger for? What does he need to pull the trigger for if she's setting up a camera shot? What was the purpose of pulling the trigger? It wasn't for a take. They needed to see how the light would look with his finger moving? Obviously, there's details of the case that I don't know. I don't know the case that's being argued. Clearly, there's enough there for him to be charged, right? And it's not like he's a poor kid who's being harassed by the police or something. Baldwin's got money, so he's probably got a good lawyer, you know, and he's still being charged with this thing. Hasn't been able to, there's no deals being struck, you know? So there must be evidence that is enough to charge him and the armorman. I mean, obviously the person who's responsible for the gun and responsible to make sure there's no live rounds, 100% that person is responsible, right? Is to blame. Alec Baldwin, definitely you hold some blame. You literally pulled the trigger. You were the one that pulled the trigger. Just like, I mean, he, I'm sure, already feels horrible. He killed somebody. Not intentionally, but he did an action that led to the death, the direct action that led to the direct death of somebody else. So, you know, I don't know. It sucks. It sucks. But it never should. Like, the guns are just ridiculous. It is ridiculous that like, this worship of guns and this, like, need to have functional guns around. It's just so stupid. People are so stupid. People are can easily, just in an instant, your mental health can just take a plummet. One event in your life can happen, and somebody who is normal, safe, and of sound mind and body can absolutely change, and they could want destruction. And to have a tool that can easily end a life by the curling of your finger, like, human life should be worth more than somebody's ability to do this, to move your index finger an inch, right? Little babies have the physical capability to end a life using a gun. That's how much power a gun gives a person. And to assume people are going to follow the right procedures and safety precautions is absurd. It is absurd. There's no proof that humans should be held, given that kind of responsibility. They've never proven themselves to be responsible enough. I don't care how many of these gun nuts are out there saying that they follow the procedures, they're not going to do these things, they keep their things locked up, they know all the training, they trained everybody. I don't care. One event can happen in a person's life and change everything. So, anyway, the story, I feel there's no happy ending to this story, but that's the update. Alec Baldwin might go to prison. And if he goes to prison, it's not like he's going hard time, right? He's going to get, rich people don't go to the same prisons, even if they commit murder. Chances are he's not, like, I'm sure he's not going to face anything. And the Actors Guild apparently is backing him too, because, you know, it's not his job as an actor, you know, the Actors Union or whatever. So I don't know. We'll see what happens with that story, but that's the update. Let's take a quick break from this episode to talk about, attention, all Ray Taylor Show fans! We're excited to announce we've just released a line of exclusive merchandise featuring original artwork inspired by the show. Our high-quality shirts and biodegradable phone cases are a perfect way to show your support for the show and make a great gift for any fan. Plus, with each purchase, you'll be helping us continue to bring you great content. So don't wait, head on over to inspireddisorder.com now and check out the full collection. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll show your support by grabbing some Ray Taylor Show merchandise today. And now, let's get back to the show. Let's move on to the second story. This one is kind of a look back. So this past week, 2 weeks ago, as this episode comes out, Reed Hastings, the CEO of Netflix, has stepped down. And the story, there was 20 years ago, which is insane. 20 years ago, Wired, the magazine, did an article on this guy, Reed Hastings, who started this movie rental business through the mail. Right, you subscribe, you get DVDs in the mail, and in direct competition, which at the time, all way before streaming was ever a thing, competing with Blockbuster Video, right? The company that I worked at when I had a gun pointed to my head, okay? That I had a gun pointed to my head, and the first thing the owner of the Blockbuster asks, right, when we finally got a hold of him, what did they take? Didn't, like, his first concern with was what he lost, not the safety of the employees that worked there. So for Blockbuster to have gone the way it has gone, I have zero sympathy. I hope that dude lost all of his money, considering his first concern was what was taken from his little Blockbuster store when his two employees had their life threatened at minimum wage. Ridiculous. So anyway, Wired put out this article 20 years ago, and it's kind of crazy how Reed Hastings had this plan for Netflix to do grow into what it grew into, right? To start off as this DVD subscription service through the mail, which before the streaming, I love Netflix, right? Before Netflix was a streaming thing, before streaming existed, being able to have a list of movies and then get a movie or two, and they showed up like almost the next day, right? So you go return a DVD, and then like a day or two later, you're getting whatever the next movie was on your list. I love that. I love that. Because there was a lot of movies that were, you can't even find in streaming now, right? That are only available on DVD. And I think the DVD subscription service still is going as is part of Netflix on some way, despite I think them wanting to end that. But I know I've heard of people that still have that service, and I thought about it because there are still movies that are just like Old Boy, specifically the Park Chan-wook film, is just not you can't stream it, you can't even buy it through like iTunes or Amazon, you can't buy a digital copy of this movie. And there's a lot of movies like that that are only available in disc form for some reason. But he called his shot, right? So he told us 20 years ago, he said 20 years from now, he planned on having a global entertainment distribution company that provides a unique channel for film producers and studios. And at the time, very grandiose, ambitious idea from him. The enemy, the number one enemy was Blockbuster, the movie rental giant that seemed too big to fail, which there was a documentary on that, which was pretty great. It may have been the last Blockbuster documentary. I think they go into that. The founder was Reese Hastings. The startup was Netflix. And today he stepped down from his role as CEO. Netflix is a Silicon Valley DVD rental company back 20 years ago. Walmart.com tried to launch a nearly identical service back then. Blockbuster was testing in-store subscription stuff. Like, they were trying to compete. So 2003, I had just moved to San Diego a year ago. Every time I went and bought DVDs, Tuesdays, go to Circuit City, which existed at the time. My roommate worked at Circuit City. I'd spend like a couple $100 on new DVDs. They were always handing out free Netflix subscriptions. And I never got into it until way later, till like a decade later. But I remember them back then, 2003, 2002. Back then, Netflix had less than 2% of the $8 billion video rental market. It had doubled its customer base in the year to just under 1,750,000, which is nothing. Netflix projects million customers and profitability by 2003. So it must have been, you know, maybe 2002. This original article, Netflix had the steadiest revenue stream in the industry. Average video rental experience is poor, obviously. Having to go. There was nostalgia around browsing the rental aisles of movies, but the selection, right? It was hit or miss. if there was a specific movie that you wanted to see, like an older film, foreign film, whatever it is, you may have to call around to a few different Blockbusters to find the movie. Where Netflix, yeah, they had almost everything. Let's see here. So it was a struggle, I guess, for Netflix to educate the customers about the subscription service. It's a completely new model for renting movies. And, you know, I think a lot of people, it takes a lot. It takes a lot for people to learn something new, to try a new service, to trust a new service. And I remember them, and I was one of the, it took me forever to, like, figure out how amazing Netflix was. The DVD rental version of Netflix, where I would spend hundreds of, I could have had like a $20 a month subscription and got four movies at a time and just, you know, watched and returned and just watched a bunch of cool movies and never actually, and saved hundreds of thousands of dollars, I'm sure, instead of buying a bunch of DVDs that I don't even own anymore that became outdated once Blu-ray and streaming was, you know, 1080. It's just ridiculous. They had 10 satellite distribution centers around the country, which made it getting new movies really easy. Netflix CEO Reed Hastings plans to expand the video game or into video games if the company can hold its own over the next 12 months, which I don't think they ever did. Gamefly became a similar service, rental service, but I don't think that was a Netflix. I think that was just a separate company. In 5 years, Hastings sees Netflix as a $1 billion company with 5 million customers. I don't know if he hit that mark, but it's amazing that he, 20 years ago, dude started a company that put out all video rental businesses, put out a business, Blockbuster, Hollywood Video, Video Depot, your mom and pop video rental stores, put them all out of business, and then started the streaming service. I think Hulu was around that same time, and Hulu was more TV. Netflix was definitely more movies when it comes to the streaming stuff, but man, that was like, that was a game. That was probably like 2008-ish, maybe, I think, is when the streaming first started. There wasn't a whole lot of movies, but there were some. Big Fluffy Chair was like one of the movies. There was just a handful of movies, but, you know, it was kind of crazy. And it's crazy that he's stepping down. I mean, I guess he called his shot, he nailed it, and now we're in a time with streaming companies. I think a lot of them are suffering. Obviously, we saw what was happening with the Warner Brothers Discovery thing, where movies and TV shows just disappearing from their service for tax purposes. And Netflix is implementing some stuff that customers aren't very happy with. We're charging for sharing your password. Making an ad-supported service. Like, they're doing things that are kind of going away from their what's made them successful. And, you know, I'm sure that's why he's like, okay, I'm done. I don't want to deal with this. Maybe he has another idea. But it's amazing to see what he did, where they're putting out amazing movies, putting out amazing shows. Crazy. It's crazy that he not only called his shot, but he hit it. Let's take a quick break from this episode because I want to promote. Are you looking for a way to take your love of The Ray Taylor Show to the next level? Look no further than Inspired Disorder Plus. As a member, you'll get access to a whole host of amazing perks, including the full week of shows, ad-free in both audio and video versions, a live painting archive, early access to the many faces, members-only discounts and deals, a podcast back catalog with over 600 episodes. But that's not all. As a member, you'll get access to my personal blog as well as my creative writing. You'll also get the chance to ask me anything you want. With all of these benefits and more, Inspired Disorder Plus is a must-have for any fan of The Ray Taylor Show. So don't wait. Go sign up now. Head on over to inspireddisorder.com/plus. And start enjoying all of the amazing perks of the membership. And now, let's get back to the show. Let's move on to the final last story, UFOs. You know, I loved Weekly World News when I was a kid. Right? Conspiracy theories were fun when I was a kid. Now to see other adults getting into conspiracy theories, talking about stories that I would have seen in Weekly World News that, you know, I love that magazine or newspaper, whatever you want to call it, tabloid. To see people kind of view those stories as if they are authentic and real is insane. But it's even crazier that the life we're in and the existence that we have in 2023 is so insane as it is that the fact that the government has come out with, yeah, UFOs are real. Yeah, here are these reports. And nobody seems to care just because, I mean, we're barely surviving. You know, billionaires are playing around going to, quote unquote, space. And most people are just struggling to pay their bills. But this last story, the U.S. Office of the Director of National Intelligence says the unidentified aerial phenomenon, which is their new term for UFO, reporting is increased, which is enabling a greater awareness of the airspace and an increased opportunity to resolve the UAP events. As of August of 2022, there have been 510 UAP reports. Let's see. The report mentions the establishment of the Department of Defense All Domain Anomaly Resolution Office. What? The AARO? Horrible. Which the U.S. government hopes will aid in resolving the UAP sightings. The Pentagon's attitude towards the UFOs or UAPs has shifted dramatically in recent years. In April 2020, the government declassified three videos captured by instruments aboard U.S. Navy aircraft depicting encounters with fast-moving unknown objects. The Intelligence Authorization Act for the fiscal year of 2021 required the Office of Naval Intelligence's UAP Task Force to submit an unclassified report to Congress detailing the nature of these unexplained phenomenon. The report detailed 144 UAP sightings that had been made by quote-unquote reliable sources, largely probably like government ships and stuff. Reliable sources largely in the military in the 17 years between 2004 and 2021. A significant number of the phenomenon in the report could be easily explained, including some which moved at considerable speeds and without discernible means of propulsion. Wait, a significant number of the phenomenon in the report could not be easily explained. The newly released 2022 report detailed, my dog is dying. All of a sudden, aliens have probed her and she's not doing good. The newly released 2022 report detailed 366 newly reported UAP incidents, with 163 being characterized as being sightings of balloons or balloon-like entities, 26 being found to be unmanned aircraft system drones, and another six being attributed to pilots misidentifying airborne clutter. All that stuff makes sense, right? That there's definitely going to be, especially with drones and stuff. The remaining 171, however, reports remain uncategorized, and some were found to demonstrate unusual flight characteristics or performance capabilities and require full analysis. So, like, obviously there's more capabilities to see, to film, to observe, to capture, right? We have smartphones, security cameras everywhere. Most homes have the, you know, doorbell camera. Most people have, a lot of houses have security cameras. Everybody's got a phone with a camera on it. So definitely a lot more things are able to capture crazy stuff. And it's not surprising. I obviously believe aliens exist. I would imagine some of this stuff might be alien. It also might just be technology that other countries have that we're not aware of. Obviously, maybe that's alien technology. I don't know. Right? The whole ancient alien stuff, the whole idea that, like, aliens crashed and a lot of our technology has been reverse engineered from the technology they got. I mean, there's Men in Black. There's all these movies, all these things in popular culture. Obviously, there has to be life outside of this planet in the ever infinite existence of the universe we live in and the potentiality for an infinite amount of universes. It's not crazy that aliens exist and that we've seen them and maybe around us at all times. Who knows? And like the movie Nope, like our concept of what an alien can be, where in Nope the ship is actually the creature in just one of its forms. Like our concept of what aliens could be so far off from the reality. You know, obviously, hopefully, if they do come, they can set us straight and they're like, you know, stop us from destroying the planet. The idea of like, you know, Star Trek and all that stuff, or rewatched all the Star Trek movies for Sunday's Top 5 and, you know, space exploration and all these things, or watching the show For All Mankind, where, you know, space exploration became a much bigger part of our goals as a country way earlier on during space travel, during early space travel. And just like, I want there to be that. I want there to be this bigger world of things that exist that are beyond us, that are clearly far more intelligent and are able to do things that we haven't figured out yet, right? But it's interesting that these things that were only part of science fiction are now being uncovered as real. Still unknown as far as we know. You know, obviously we're not given everything, but we're at a point where it's like, yep, there's things we don't know what they are. There's a lot of them. We're seeing more of them. That's about it. So, I don't know, man. You know, I don't think we're like, it's a weird time, especially when so much of our society believes all kinds of weird conspiracy theories to be real. You know, and a lot of their beliefs are actively causing harm to other people. So it's weird that those lines are being blurred a little bit with this information. But either way, interesting stuff. I'm always excited to hear what is actually confirmed and what's real and find out more about this stuff. And yeah, it's interesting. It's like, it's the reality is so mind-blowingly insane that like it can put science fiction and the most creative thing somebody can think of to shame when you just realize how insane our actual reality is. With all that said, let's do some shout outs and get out of here. Shout out to LA Times, shout out to Wired Shout out to IGN.com. But most importantly, shout out to you watching or listening to this. And thank you for tuning in to another episode of Swipe Up. I hope you enjoyed my thoughts and insights on the latest news and entertainment updates. Don't forget to join the conversation on social media by using the hashtag #SwipeUpPodcast. I will see you next Thursday for more unfiltered opinions and fresh perspectives. Peace.
New episodes of The Ray Taylor Show come out every single day. Subscribe on YouTube and everywhere our podcasts are found. Binge the full week over at inspireddisorder.com/plus. Buy Ray Taylor Show merch over at inspireddisorder.com. Have a wonderful day, everybody. Peace out!
Today is the day where you wake up and you realize that everything that you've been dreaming about, everything that you've been wanting, every goal and wish and hope that you've ever had can become real. Dreams can come true. What you manifest in your mind, you can bring to reality.